As we enter into worship, I read these words just recently from the Buddhist teacher Pema Chodron, in which he talks about, he says, when things fall apart, and I heard that line, and I went, well, that might well describe what it felt like for the last 20 months. He says, when things fall apart and we can't get the pieces back together, again, when you think about all the different things that have caused a struggle for us for much of the last 20 months and trying to do things as we once could, but we can't. So when things fall apart and we can't get the pieces back together, when we lose something dear to us, when the whole thing is just not working and we don't know what to do, this is the time when the natural warmth of tenderness, the warmth of empathy and kindness are just waiting to be uncovered, just waiting to be embraced. This is our chance. This is our chance to come out of our self-protecting bubble and to realize that we are never alone, that our own troubles, if we turn towards them, can open us to a loving relationship with the world. And when I think back on these last 20 months and now us being able to be gathered in multiple ways, we have taken this moment when things felt like they were falling apart and opened ourselves to something new. May that be what we do every day. May that be what grounds us in worship each day.
What joy it is to have you here today. Welcome to this place in which God will ease your burdens and celebrate your joys with you. Whatever has happened this week in your life, know that God is with you and offering you peace, rest, and blessing.
The prayer of confession. We confess to Almighty God that we have missed the mark with God, our brothers and sisters, indeed with the entirety of God's creation, through our own faults, in thoughts, in words, in what we have done and failed to do. We ask for prayers of forgiveness and renewal before God and all that God has called into being. Amen.
Good words of assurance that when indeed we open our hearts to God, we open ourselves to what we have done and where we have been and what might have gone wrong and what might have gone right, and we open ourselves and ask God to forgive us and lead us forward. Indeed, we are forgiven, and the way forward is given to us, a way of love. In the midst of that love, let us take a moment and pass the peace of God to one another. Peace be with you all.
Peace be with you.
Peace, everybody.
Peace be with you.
Be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
So it just so happens that on this exact day, 11 years ago, I arrived here on Oahu to start a new job with FEMA. Hard to imagine it's been that long. Libby and the kids were actually staying back in our house in Maryland, kind of wrapping things up while I arrived to, you know, find an apartment and do all those sort of things. So on that very first Sunday before I started my job the next day, flew all day. I arrived and I was trying to do things on the cheap. So I had reserved a $30 a night hostel at the Plumeria Hostel down there on P.E. Coy Street. And so I traveled all day. I arrive with my suitcase and I show up in this, you know, strange new place. And I get there and I knock on the door of the little office on the side and no one's there. Okay, so I get on my cell phone, I call the number, no one answers. You know, am I in the right place? This is a very sort of nondescript, you know, two-story apartment block with just a couple apartments that are the hostels. And I'll kind of wander around this new city for a little while, and I'll come back and try again later. So I spend a couple hours looking around. I come back, I knock on the door again. It's still locked. There's still no answer on the phone. Well, now it's getting dark, right? And I'm here. I don't know where I'm going to go. I'm starting to kind of panic. So I start desperately calling places, and finally the Waikiki Hostel says we've got one bed left. So I jump in my rental car and I rush down there, and I'm driving up and down these you know, side streets in Waikiki looking for this little sign that says Hosteling International. I, finally find it, and I go in, and I found a place. And I climb into my top bunk for the night and settle in to dream about my new life in Hawaii. And I, as it turns out, I did finally get a hold of the guy at the Plumeria Hostel the next day, and I think he said something like, "Dude, I must have fallen asleep." So it all worked out. We sorted it out. It was the Plumeria was a convenient location for the next 6 weeks as I looked around to find an apartment for my family and figure out this new town and get settled in and learn my new job. And in those 6 weeks, I decided, you know, I want to find a church home. And so every Sunday, I would go to a different church to kind of check one out. In fact, some Sundays, I even go to an early service and then a late service and kind of squeeze them all in. And Libby and I, we grew up Catholic, but we had been going to a Unitarian Universalist fellowship in the mainland where we had been living. So I decided I'll try those out. So I went to the Catholic Mass, and it was pretty much the same as it had always been. Everybody filed in and filed out, and we said the same exact recitations and that we always had done. It was very familiar, and for many reasons, that's why we had left the Catholic Church. And so then I tried the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship over in Nuuanu. And it was very different. I'm sure many of you have been there. It's in this lovely old house. But at that time, they were in between pastors. And so the congregation was having a rotating member of the community, you know, preach every Sunday. And things were actually really kind of chaotic at that time and a little bit contentious as they sort of figured out what their new direction for the community was. And well, that didn't quite seem like the place for my family at that time. So we took the kids to Waiokala, right here in Kahala, and once the family arrived, and my little rambunctious preschooler went to church school and came out and very stern little face, and he said, "Auntie gave me scoldings." And he said, "I'm never going back there again." So so we went on and tried a different church. We went to one that was just across the street from the apartment we eventually found. And it was a small little Methodist church, wonderfully welcoming people. But the only keiki there were the two children of the pastor, no one else. So we'll keep looking. We went to service in the movie theater at Kahala Mall. And, you know, it's great. They have it in stage, and then the keiki go to the next little movie theater right there. And unbeknownst to anybody that goes to the movies, but there's a little curtain underneath the screen. And underneath this curtain, they pull out all of these bins, and they have all of their, you know, keiki Sunday school stuff, and they set up for church. And then they tuck it all back in under the curtains under the movie theater. But very fascinating, but not really our style either. I went to Kawaiahao Church and checked that out, and just so happened to be their rummage sale that day. And so I got this very shirt at the Kawaiahao rummage sale, my very first aloha shirt coming to Hawaii those many years ago. So finally, I looked in the newspaper as I was just kind of looking around, and there was a little ad in the classifieds that said, "Oh, this church has free lunch on the second Sunday." I said, "Crossroads. Well, now that sounds like a place I'm going to go check out." So I went for second Sunday for the free lunch, and that's how I ended up here. But the moment I walked through that door, Pastor Kyle at the time began service, as she did every service, by saying, "No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here." And we have been welcomed here ever since. It's been an amazing journey for all of us. This place was, you know, matched to our own kind of liberal theology that we were looking for. It was an open and affirming church, had a commitment to social justice. So I was really excited. I had checked it out on my own and then brought Libby and the kids back again for another free second Sunday lunch that spring. And it's been a wonderful decision. We've really, this has become, you know, not only our church home, but our Hanai Ohana over the last decade. My job with FEMA is actually recently changed roles, got a promotion to do something else. But for the last decade, I have been the liaison from the federal government for nonprofit response, helping to coordinate with church disaster relief, faith-based community organizations. And so I travel a lot, disasters all around the place. And In that role as the church liaison, I really enjoy going to different churches every Sunday when I'm in different places and kind of checking them out. I guess I still sort of do that. It always reaffirms my commitment to this community. I went to one church in Saipan and this little house that had been converted. That church turns out was pastored at one point in time by our very own Barbara Grace Ripple, who was the pastor there many years ago. Lots of wonderful connections. I went to a church that was open air on the beach. It was beautiful. I went to a church there, a community church that was all sofas all around. And the pastor stood up kind of like on an open mic night on a stool up there with just a microphone and sort of, you know, riffed on the things of the day. And as everybody sat in comfy couches all around the community. I went to a mega church where all of the keiki got barcoded on the way in with wristbands and so that they could go to the appropriate classroom and you could sign out your children with your matching barcode as they left the church. In fact, when you arrived in the parking lot, you were greeted with a golf cart to take you the many blocks from the outskirts of the parking lot up to the front doors of the church. I went to churches where, the praise music was like a rock band, you know, with drum sets and backup singers and multimedia. It was fascinating. It's wonderful. I really love those experiences. Going to, you know, vegetarian meals with the Adventists on a Saturday service rather than Sundays. Going to an Orthodox service where I went in communion and lined up and I got all the way up to the front. And as I'm kind of, you know, trying to look around and follow what people do, and the priest, I could tell he was sort of eyeing me in the line coming up. And I get to the front and he says, "You're not Orthodox, are you?" And I said, "No." And he said, "I'm not going to embarrass you, but you're not allowed to receive communion here. I'm just going to give you a blessing and send you on your way." So every time I come back home, it really is a homecoming to this congregation, this community, because all the things that those other churches had, what they didn't have was you, the people of this congregation. They didn't have, that very first second Sunday lunch, I sat next to Garrett Apuzanito. And who knew that a decade later, that same man would be teaching me and my son to surf over this past year. After a decade, it was finally time that we learned to surf here in Hawaii. Or that very first year we lived here, we had a birthday party and a bounce house for Gabriel at the Kahala Beach. And this auntie from church biked all the way from town and showed up at the park for his birthday party. Had no idea that Auntie Lee would be such an integral part of our lives over the next decade. Or the choir that has invited my kids to sing in public for the first time, and now they're doing it, you know, on the stage of DHT, and they have built-in fan clubs to go see them at Diamond Head Theater, all of the Crossroaders that go see them. We've grown very close to the families here, the Kimuras, who have become really close friends and who we created our own holiday traditions and Thanksgivings and our family here. And Kathy Sox Pollard, who not only does the IHS cooking every day, but has kept Bridget clothed for many years with hand-me-downs from Mary and Eden. To Ben Fairfield, who helped teach my son the upright bass as he was learning for the orchestra. Clara, who was our inquirers group when we joined this church and taught us about the history of Crossroads, and Chuck, who helped our keiki learn about this space and greening and the importance of our place here. And I could go on and on and on. When my little six-year-old boy showed up to church with a pink barrette in his hair, he was met with high fives from Jerry Ballard. Not disapproving looks or, you know, questioning, but a celebration of that choice he made that day. So this has been our home. It's been a wonderful place. That you are the reason we're here. You are our family and our ohana. And I appreciate all of you. So thank you for that extravagant welcome you have extended to my family over the years and continue to do so to everyone. Here's my awkward transition, so that we can continue the work of this church. This being the second Sunday of the stewardship campaign, you should have also all received, hopefully, this packet in the mail. that has all of this letter and this lovely green card as we help our world become more verdant and green. So please take the opportunity to make this pledge for the upcoming year. This is what our church council uses as the foundation for building the budget, for planning the year, knowing what it is we can accomplish in the upcoming year. And that's all based on the pledges that we make. So please take the time to fill that out and send it in via the self-stamped envelope or email or drop it off, whatever, in a timely way so that the church council can do their work of building our plan and our budget for the coming year. So I welcome you all to make your pledges, welcome you all to participate here in service, to participate in the many missions of this church. But most importantly, we welcome you. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Thank you. Dear God, please accept these offerings of our time, our talent, our treasure. And as our congregation leaves today and they place those offerings in the bowls at the back by the doors on the way out, please accept each one of those with heartfelt gratitude so that the extravagant welcome of this church can continue to be given to all. Amen.
We want to continue together in a time of prayer. A few prayers have come to me, so I want to lift those up and then give ourselves a chance if there are prayers amongst us as well. Karen asked us to pray for her cousin Barbara, who passed away 2 weeks ago in Germany. God, hear our prayers. Our friend Richard Jackson, who is on the Zoom call with us right now, asks us to pray that he doesn't live in fear, that life has been difficult and he wants to be able to live in a different way and not live in fear. God, hear our prayers. And Shanti asked for prayers for her mom, 99-year-old Amy, and myself in order to finish off the year on the positive side. May one, Shanti, be able to complete all the forms with due dates, bills, presents, medical coverage, and more. Oh. And then she says, let's pray that we all get our flu shots and our boosters if we need them, and that those folks who are on the continent stay well when it starts getting cold, and not be too jealous of us when it's not getting so cold here. God, hear our prayers. Are there prayers that folks have here in the sanctuary to share? Jeanette.
So I had a prayer of thanksgiving and also introductions.
Yes.
We have two friends of ours, Mia and Chuck Taylor, out on the Lanai, recently recruited to our Kukua team. They joined the church during lockdown, and they've been attending virtually, and this is their first time here. So Thanksgiving for Mia and Chuck. Welcome.
Amen. God, thank you for that. Yes, welcome.
Hello. I would just like to give thanks that after 18 years living in Europe, Susan and I have now relocated back to Kailua. And most importantly, we're near Susan's mom now, which is a true blessing, and we're great. Very, very thankful.
Well, great, thank you. God, hear these prayers of gratitude.
I don't want to usurp Skip or Sandy if they're on Zoom.
That's okay.
But I don't see them.
Yep.
But we need prayers for Sandy Polson's family, she herself, her sister Jeanette, and her brother Wayne, and their families, and of course Skip and grandchildren. Iola did pass away yesterday morning at 6 a.m. And the reason I wanted to say something was, as a hospice nurse, I was amazed at her strength. She had just turned 100 a few months ago, and she was on hospice twice and graduated and just kept going and kept going and kept going. It was amazing. And she very, very slowly eased out of this life yesterday morning. So, and her family was with her. They weren't with her when she passed, but they were with her for a week or 10 days before. And they had been there many, many times. So very, very loving family and an amazing woman.
Hear our prayers. Yes, my dear.
For my Uncle Eddie, he has a tumor in his head.
Tumor in his head. For Uncle Eddie, God, hear our prayers. Are there others? Linda, did some come to you? None came. Let us carry on then with our worship. Mike, you want to share with us the scripture?
First reading is from the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Ruth and Boaz at the threshing floor. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." The second reading is a little bit later in the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, the genealogy of David. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without next of kin. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. And the final reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. The destruction of the temple foretold. Chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. Wrong card. Jesus denounces the scribes. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and, for sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth about a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Here ends the reading.
So I want to invite, if there are other keiki here besides wonderful Bridget, to come and join me up front, up here. Come on, I see some little bit of body movement. Here comes Isato. Well, hello there, buddy. Hey, you know, it's, you think of keiki and you don't think of them as being over 6 feet tall, but hey, it happens, right? Here, you know what? Let's grab a couple more chairs. Here. Emma, would you take a chair? Okay. Tamar, would you take a chair? And Kira, would you take a chair? Okay, you guys can sit right there in front there. Perfect. So, all the rest of you, nice to be with you. I just want to talk with them for a little bit, okay? So, if you were listening, there was a scripture that was just read, the first part of the scripture. Do you remember who were the key characters in that scripture? They had two names, two women. What was one of them? Ruth and Naomi. Ask for one, get two. It's a twofer, right? Ruth and Naomi. Which one is older, do you think? Naomi is the older one. So some of you may know this story, but let's go through this story again. The parts that Uncle Mike didn't read because Auntie Mary read them last week for us. But there's this woman by the name of, the older one is Naomi. And Naomi lives with her husband, whose name you probably don't know. It's Elimelech. Can you say that? Elimelech. It's kind of like saying a limerick, but it's Elimelech. She lives with her husband Elimelech and her two boys, whose names I can't remember. And they live in Palestine. Anyone know where Palestine is? Yes, ma'am. It's not in South America. Do you know where Palestine is? Say again. Not Asia. Not Europe. Sort of south of there. It's called part we call Middle East. It's also known today. There's a country there known as Israel, right? This is where Jesus grew up, right, in Palestine. But this is 1,000 or more years before. Okay, 1,000 or more years before Jesus. So this is like 3,000 years ago. Can you imagine a story being told about you 3,000 years from now? That's what's so amazing. We read, Uncle Mike reads a story about Ruth. It's been told every day, every year for 3,000 years across the world. It's incredible. So Elimelech, Naomi are in Palestine, Israel. And guess what's happening? There's a famine. What's a famine? Do you know what a famine is? What's a famine, Amara? When they have a shortage of food. Brilliant. When they have a shortage of food, there's not enough food for them to eat, and so they have to leave their home. Think about that. No one likes to leave their home. The only reason you leave your home is something like that is because you can't survive where you are. So they couldn't survive in their home. So they went And this is the magic of storytelling. To the country right next door, Moab. Can you say that? Moab? Moab. And people who live in Moab are what? Moabians. They're actually called Moabites. Okay? Because I guess they have big teeth or something, Moabites. So the Moabites, they live with the Moabites, Ruth, Naomi, Elimelech, and excuse me, Naomi, Elimelech, and their two sons, and the two sons get married. One of them gets married to Ruth, and the other one gets married to Oprah Winfrey. No, to a woman by the name of Orpah. So Orpah and Ruth marry the two boys, and then terrible things happen. Not the boys yet, dad dies first, Elimelech, gone. And all of a sudden, the two boys are gone. So now we're left with Ruth, her friend Orpah, they're both daughters-in-law, and who's the third one? No, the third one is Naomi, right? Mom. And in this time, 3,000 years ago, it wasn't good to be a woman alone, because the world was structured in such a way that men had everything. And if you were a woman, you either needed to have a father who would take care of you, or you needed to have a husband who would take care of you. And if you didn't have either, then you were probably going to be poor and maybe even living on the streets, because the world didn't care about you. And so if you were a widow, that was bad news. We have three widows, right? Naomi, two daughters-in-laws, and Naomi says, this is not good. We're all going to die like this. And she says, I'm going to go back to Palestine. I'm going to go back to my home and hope that someone will take care of me. But Ruth and Orpah, you're young. You might find another husband. You stay here in Moab. And what do you think Orpah says? Orpah says, okay, I will. First she says, no, I won't. But then it doesn't take her a lot to be convinced. And we never hear of her again. But Ruth says these words. Repeat after me. Don't make me leave you. Adults can say it as well. Don't make me leave you. Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And so Ruth, caring for her mother-in-law more than anything else, goes back to her mother-in-law's home. Two widows on the street. But as you all know, even when things are not looking good, if you work together, you can create possibility when it feels like there's no possibility. And Naomi looks at Ruth and says, look, I don't have much, but what I do know is I know who some of the good people are and some of the bad people are. And Ruth says, look, Naomi, I don't have much, but I'm young. Someone may still want to marry me. If we work together, we may be able to make this work. And so Naomi says, looks around and she says, you know, all these men out there, they know the world works for them. They don't care about us except for a few. Most of the men would see you, Ruth, and go, how you doing? But not all of them would. So let's find someone who's going to be kind. And enter into the picture a man by the name of Boaz. Boaz. Mike, Uncle Mike read for us. Enter in the name of, and think of him, I think of Boaz as kind of like one of those real gentlemanly cowboys. So Ruth comes in and says, hello, Boaz. And he goes, ma'am, nice to meet you. And then all the other guys are looking at Ruth and says, and they're going, how you doing? And looking her up and down like that. And Boaz says, ma'am, it's a pleasure to meet you, and I would love a chance to get to know you just a little bit better. At which point Ruth says, okay, I can do that. And so they kind of go on a date. And they not only kind of go on a date, they fall in love. And Boaz marries Ruth. And because Boaz is now married to Ruth, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, now has a home. And so they're both taken care of. They're both taken care of at this moment. And then the most amazing thing happens, because sometimes possibilities emerge when we're not even thinking about it. So Ruth and Boaz have a son. His name is Obed. Okay? Obed. Obed has a son whose name is Jesse. Jesse has a son, actually seven of them, the youngest of which is named David. And David will end up fighting Goliath, and David will end up becoming the greatest king that the people of Palestine, of Israel, have ever known. So out of this moment where there was no possibility for survival because they found a way to work together, generations later, King David comes to be. It's an amazing story, and now we have to transport ourselves another 1,000 years. Okay, 1,000 years forward, we're now in Jesus' time. And you would think, wouldn't you, that after we had all of this with these poor widows, no one taking care of them, that they would decide to change the world because, after all, from those poor widows, this wonderful King David came from, but they didn't change. And so now in Jesus' time, yet again, there is a poor widow and nobody cares about her. She only has one penny to her name, where all the wealthy, learned people, all ta-da, are going, who cares about her? Look at how good I am. Look at the money I'm giving. And it's coins in their pockets that are way more than she has, but so much less than they have to give. And nobody cares about the widow except for, who do you think? Jesus does. And it's not just Jesus. It's his disciples. And in fact, the folks that are following Jesus, at this very time, are made up of people who the society has forgotten. People that the society doesn't care about because they're not all high and mighty. They're just plain old folk. And some of them are in desperate situations like this widow. And when Jesus gathers his people together and he lets them know that the day will be when I will not be here and you're going to need to carry on my work, the work of love. And in essence, he says exactly what Uncle Mike said, is that you're going to have to create a community in which no matter who you are, no matter where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. 2,000 years ago, that's what Jesus is telling his disciples, that the world that they will create together is one in which no matter who you are, whether you're a widow, whether you're an orphan, whether you're a foreigner, no matter who you are and where you are in life's journey, you are welcome in this community of love that Jesus has created. It's an amazing moment. And when the church begins 2,000 years ago, it's widows, it's slaves, it is orphans, it is foreigners. It is all the people that have been forgotten, that are the least and the last and the lost, that become part of that community and find love. So now, one more big transport. Have to do it 3 times because we're going 2,000 years. And we're now here. Because of that church, because of those folks that followed Jesus then and started the church that we now are part of, this is a place that you all are part of. Every Sunday when you come here, every day when you come here, every moment of your life, this is a place where no matter where you are, no matter who you are welcome. And not only that, because just like back in those times when widows weren't being taken care of, right? So too we know today that we live in a world where not everyone is taken care of, right? Sometimes the color of your skin will make it harder for you to get by in the world because the world is structured for one color of skin over another. Sometimes your gender, your sexual orientation, all those things play in ways that shouldn't be. But in this place, in this community, we strive to be a place where Ruth and Naomi would know that they are welcome, where the widow with the one penny to her name would know that they are welcome, that anybody, anywhere, no matter where they are on life's journey, are welcome here. And that's the gift that comes to us past 3,000 years from people who have learned to work together in love to then share with each other. And where did it go? Jeanette? It's time. And that's why we look at what's on the communion table. And here it comes. Okay, maybe I was going to ask Don to play a little bit of traveling music for the communion elements, but they'll just come on their own. Here they come. Oh, here comes Don to play some little traveling music as well. So it's been 20 months since we've been doing this. We're a little bit out of practice. We can't quite remember exactly when things come, and we got pieces cut up and grapes and all sorts of weird and strange elements. Just put it anywhere. It'll work. Perfect. The bread, by the way, is gluten-free, so anybody can have, except for this big loaf of bread, which nobody can have. Well, actually, afterwards, many can have. And we got grapes here. So the reason why we have all these elements here is you think about, on that last night in which Jesus was with his disciples, before he was arrested, and he said to them, and he talked about it, and what he shared with them, and the words that he shared was that this is what your life is going to be. You're going to be like those ancestors that we've had of Ruth and Naomi, those who have worked together in love. You're going to have to give of yourself in love so that others may be able to have a life that is filled with love as well. And so he very dramatically took a loaf of bread and he said, "This is my body that is broken for you, for everyone." And this we are called to do as well, to allow ourselves to be given for everyone that others may have life. And in the same way, he took a cup and he poured into it and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, covenant of love, which is also my blood that is shed for you." And we too are called to give of ourselves for others. So just as Ruth and Naomi were giving of themselves for each other, just as that widow was giving her last penny for everyone, just as the disciples created a church in which all who are welcome, so too do we offer ourselves in love for one another, that others may have life full and blessed. So because of our COVID reality, we are not going to come down the aisle, and I'm not going to rip off a piece of bread and hand it to you as we have always done in the past, in the times before there was this thing called COVID. Instead, we have this wonderful gluten-free bread that has been cut up for you already. You just put your hand out, it'll be dropped in there. And because we're not all going to be sharing from a common cup as we might once have done before, we have these lovely grapes that you also put your hand out, and those grapes will be the cup as well. So, table is set, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter where you are in life's journey, you are welcome here. May we all partake of this blessing.
Please join me in the communion prayer. Wondrous God, mahalo for the gifts of this table, the bounty from our land, and the people being woven into your community in this place. As we share in this bread, may we allow our lives to be given in service and love, justice and peace. As we drink from the cup and take in its blessing, may we prepare ourselves to give drink to the thirsty, food to the hungry, be friends with the oppressed, and serve the whole of your creation. Amen.
So we will, okay. So we will be singing "What Does the Lord Require?" And you know, it's so wonderful to have the opportunity to have our choir back in this place again. And so with that said, they're going to help lead us with "What Does the Lord Require of You?" by leading your section as group one right here, group two right here, and group three in the back. We will be singing this as a round. If the choir can please come up. Thank you so much.
You know, I walked into the sanctuary this morning and the choir was here and they were warming up, and I realized what an amazing sound a choir warming up is, and how lovely to be able to have all of us singing together again. You who are in the Zoom world, we can't wait to the times when you're able to join us and your voices together. What a joy. Let us go forth as the song just called us to do, to be a people of justice, to be a people of kindness, to be a people who walk humbly with their God, to be a people who say, no matter who you are, no matter where you are in life's journey, here you are welcome. Here you are welcome. Ima wa ku ka loko mai ka I o ka haku Yesu Christo. Me ke aloha o ke akua a me kaulana puana o ka ohane hamolele me akua pau. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.